Harper Audio presents A Stolen Childhood by Casey Watson, read by Kate Locke. Chapter 1. What Lies Beneath? That was the name of the film, wasn't it? The one where the wife thinks she's seeing things that aren't there. As titles went, it was a good one for a psychological thriller. But though it would soon strike a chilling chord with me for professional reasons, right now I was oblivious of what lay in store, so it came to mind for more practical ones. I was busy digging deep into my capacious school satchel to see if what lay beneath, in this case, was a pen that actually worked. It was touch and go whether I'd have any success. In fact, it was an action that at times put me in mind of one of those celebrities in the jungle, plunging a hand into a black hole while being blindfolded. It was a very big satchel, and there was a great deal of stuff generally at the bottom of it, which was par for the course, given the nature of my job. "You know what?" I said to Kelly, my sometime assistant, having turfed out half the contents in order to find one, "you would think that after all this time, someone would finally work out how to operate the heating system in this place, wouldn't you? It's not exactly rocket science, after all." It was mid-morning break, and Kelly and I, along with a lot of the other teaching staff, were spending it in the staff room, not just so we could warm ourselves up a bit with hot drinks, but so we could retrieve any extra clothing we might have in our lockers. It was only the beginning of March, but it was almost as if all the radiators in the place somehow knew that the weathermen had announced that morning that it was officially the first day of spring. They had then apparently decided in unison that they should break down, quite possibly for the entire season. This in turn meant that the school was already going into the usual cold weather meltdown, with key staff bustling about the place, bearing thermometers and recording temperatures, while the children, always quick to sniff an opportunity on the breeze, particularly a chilly one, could already be heard up and down the corridors making plans for a possible early exit, if there were insufficient degrees Celsius for them to be allowed to stay. "It's not boiler science either," Kelly told me. "Not on this occasion, anyway. I just saw Donald on the way up here, and he said it's not the boilers. Apparently, someone turned the whole system off over the weekend by mistake, and it's just taking a long time to kick in again." "Still," she said, grabbing a biscuit from the half-open packet on the table in front of us, "didn't Ranulph Fine say that when it's really cold you burn loads of extra calories through shivering? So, that's fine by me. Custard cream." Her enthusiasm for trying to force-feed me biscuits aside, Kelly Vickers was a godsend in my working life. One of the school's 20 or so teaching assistants, she was assigned, first and foremost, to help me, as and when required, in my role as the school's behaviour manager. Ours was a busy inner-city comprehensive, big enough to have a specialised behaviour unit. Well, to us, just the unit, where my job was all about helping the various children who, for one reason or another, couldn't cope effectively in mainstream classes. It was a veritable mixed bag of reasons as well, including children who were in danger of being excluded. Those who had problems in school, be they academic and or social, and kids who were struggling because of problems at home, something that naturally tended to impact on child's progress and well-being. The diversity of my pupils' needs meant that no day was ever just like another, and unlike most of the mainstream teachers who had clear curriculum-based briefs, I couldn't plan too far ahead because I never knew from one day to the next just who I'm...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?